You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Why We Watch, the show for fans, bar fans, about fans. I am Mags and my guest today is one half of the Josh and Stu podcast. They also have one of the most fun prediction contests in wrestling Twitter. Today I'm speaking with Joshua Plummer, aka Josh. Josh, how are you today?
Yes, you're good. I'm very well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good to have you on. Find out your wrestling story, find out why you got interested in this wacky world of people play fighting whilst dressed in their underpants. So, what's Josh? What's the first memory or the first experience that you've got of wrestling?
It's difficult for me to actually kind of pinpoint and remember. I have lots of different memories. I'm just trying to figure out, okay, I remember that moment, but that was earlier. So I don't think I can remember exactly what the first match I saw was. It may have been when WWF was like in the Prime Attitude era, like 2000, 2001, I think, and when they had the like highlight show or they'd have Heat on Channel 4.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it was on either Saturday or Sunday lunchtime, or if it wasn't, I think it was around about then. If not, we had my sister's ex used to record them on VCR, and then we watched them, and it paid for the same for the pay-per-views. Obviously, we wouldn't watch it when mum or dad was there, because obviously he's not really able to get yet. But we watched it regardless. I think that's probably the first time I watched it. I remember the first time watching. The first pay-per-view I watched in full was Armageddon 2000, notorious for the Armageddon Hell in the Cell match. Mm-hmm. That was the first pay-per-view I remember, I think, actually staying up to watch, which was the first. So that's as far as I can think back. Otherwise, like the first match in terms of watching, I cannot remember. But that was the first pay-per-view I remember watching in full, for sure.
Yeah. So around that time, like you said, you're looking at like the end of the Attitude Era, going into the Ruthless Aggression Era. Who were the kind of the wrestlers that you gravitated towards? Who were like your guys around that time?
Well, obviously in that era, you had the two big guys. You had Austin and you had The Rock. Mm-hmm. I think at school you were either an Austin guy or you were a Rock guy. I was very much a Rock guy. Person and still am. He's still one of my big influences, one of my inspirations. He's one of those people where, you know, you have the conversation, who would you invite to a dinner party live and dead? It's like The Rock would always be there. I think I got a DVD of his, and I think this was when I was trying to learn a little bit more about him, about his backstory. So I didn't know about his Rock in my Via stuff, his background, the third generation stuff. I just saw him as he was as the Brahma Bull, so peak of like 2000 when he was the world champion. So got this DVD, which was I think it was between like 98 and 99, so it looked at his rivalry with The Undertaker at King of the Ring, rivalry with Billy Gunn, or Mr. Ass as he was called, and his tag team partnership with Mankind as well, and the This Is Your Life segment. It was that DVD on there, and then just through other DVDs and VHSs that they had at the time. So you looking at all the history there, and looking at what The Rock was up to, obviously continuing to watch the part how he would end up. So going through, yeah, like 2002, I followed him even when he was doing Scorpion King. Not the greatest film, but you know, We won't talk about the CGI in Mummy Returns, but there we go. all the tooth fairy, you know, everyone has their ups and downs, but you know.
But yeah, he's certainly one of the single stars that I gravitate towards for sure.
Yeah, I was definitely a Rock and an Austin guy. I had a lot of Austin t-shirts, and when I was not really old enough, I think I was about 16, I convinced a tattoo parlor to tattoo a Brahma bull on me.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's not the best tattoo. It's,
do you still have it? Or
yeah, I'll DM you a picture of it.
It's, oh, excellent!
It's not good. It's not good. Let's just say that. But I was a young kid. I was fascinated with the Rock, and yeah, I ended up getting a Rock tattoo.
One of my favorite wrestling tattoos I've ever seen. I was doing a shoot. I work as an actor, and I was on this film shoot. And one of the other performers, he had a tattoo of Sting in the full black and white face paint makeup. Wow. And he's looking in the mirror, and on the other side is Brandon Lee's character in The Crow. And I thought, that's really cool. One of my favorite revenge films, and you know, an iconic wrestler there, similar images, but yeah, I thought, okay, that's cool. And it turns out that guy had been to pretty much, I'd say, 40% of WrestleManias.
Oh, like the lamb shirt guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was watching a WrestleMania back the other day for a research for this podcast, actually. Well, for Badlands. And I spotted him. The lamb shirt guy, I think it was at like maybe WrestleMania 22, and he was there. We're still with like the smiley face lamb t-shirt, still with the same like kind of beige hat and the little goatee beard. Yeah, he's been going to wrestling events for a long ass time.
Wow, brilliant!
Yeah, I mean, good on him, absolutely good on him. So what would you say is your favorite wrestling event or your favorite wrestling pay-per-view?
Favorite wrestling pay-per-view, it alternates between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. I love this season because we don't know, it sets up who's going to be like kind of the face of, I guess, of that year, who's going to be the champion of that year, where it's going to go. It's got the climax of storylines. It's a very exciting time. Continuing on from that, other than Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, I really like when they had the King of the Ring pay-per-views as well. One of my favorites is you've got 2000 and you've got 2001 as well. And 2001 has one of my favorite matches on the card there as well. Being you'll probably ask it later, but yeah, Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon is up there with one of my favorite matches of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Shane McMahon, but that match really was amazing. The one where he was thrown through the glass sign, and it was actually the wrong sign that they were throwing him through, and it was proper glass rather than sugar glass.
They did, yeah, because I think they were worried about the pyro, as they had the big kind of pyro show to begin with. And if it was sugar glass, it would just shatter. They didn't replace it.
No, just replaced it with reinforced glass.
Yeah. Right, go through one. No, we've got to do it properly. Let's go through all of them.
Yeah, exactly. So aside from that match, what other matches really stand out to you as ones that you can watch over and over again and never get bored of them?
As in from my childhood or even from now?
From whenever. Which kind of matches stand out to you as like, wow, that was, I've just watched an amazing match.
I loved anything good, kind of it's striking moves. I work in stage combat. I studied that. Wrestling was an influence for that. I'm a fight director and fight tutor as well. And we teach a lot of like striking moves and the sound, the nap kind of sounds, as we call them. I'm not quite sure what the wrestlers might call them, snaps sometimes. But matches like Aleister Black are at the moment is one of my favorite wrestlers. His match with Johnny Gargano, where they're just kicking the daylights out of each other, is amazing. His matches with Buddy Murphy, TLC was great fun as well. Anything like, yeah, lots of strikes, good fun there. And I remember most recently one match which sticks to my mind, it might stand the test of time, being one of the, it's going off WWE for a second. I used to work at a pub. I won't name it for what I mean. I don't know. But I used to work there. It was always miserable. I hated working there. Going through a week, really tough, difficult week. But I always had in the back of my mind, it's like, it's okay because Sunday is my day off. Don't worry. On Sunday, I can get up in the morning. It's fine. It's Okada and Omega 4. The match where Okada finally, Omega finally wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and yeah, that's when it felt like a legitimate kind of sport, you know, really rooting behind Kenny Omega. I love that match.
Yeah, I've said that it's quite possibly the closest to a perfect match that I've ever seen. I just can't find fault in it.
No. I can find fault in the 7 stars system that Dave Meltzer has had, and like, come on, this is getting silly now. I like the theory that someone came up with that his rating system is 10, but he just hates wrestling.
The way I have always looked at Dave Meltzer's system is, if he says it's a 4 and above star match, it's going to be worth watching. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a perfect match or you're not going to find flaws in it, but it just means he's got a relatively good eye of what is a good match and what's a poor match. But
it's good. I also use there's a website called Cage Match as well, so lots of fans have their input and rate theirs. That's a really good website. So I found matches like Scotty Too Hot in Dean Malenko at Backlash 2000. It's incredible. There was a match, I think it was One Night Stand, I think 2005, the first one with Mike Awesome. I can't remember if it was a Japanese wrestler, but they just wrestled a hardcore match. But they
Masato
wrestled it
like, Tanaka.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. They wrestled it like 100 miles an hour, like spot after spot after spot. It's like, how are these guys not dead? This is brilliant.
Cage Match is amazing for research as well. When you really want to find out like little stats about people, especially for doing Badlands. I love that website.
I'm doing it with. I need to update our Twitter actually, because we kind of got a little bit quiet with our Super G1 that we're doing. It's finding out who would win a G1 a specific year in WWE or WWF. So from 1999. To 2019, and then we'll put those winners into like a Super G1 and see who comes out on top using the stats from Cage Match.
Yeah, sounds like a really good idea. You do have a lot of like really fun, interesting kind of like ideas for like almost interactive like game style ideas. I really do enjoy that about you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely no problem.
When we started doing our podcast, we discovered that there were a lot more wrestling podcasts than we thought. And I thought, okay, it'd be a great way to actually interact with them rather than just, you know, everyone likes and retweets and everything. But can we go a step beyond as well and actually get people like interacting? So, well, okay, when we do our reviews, we do our predictions of what's going, what you think is going to come up, and we fantasy book as well. A lot of our podcasts were doing prediction shows before the pay per fits and before the pay per views. We thought, okay, why don't we use that? Let's get a prediction game contest. So we started off doing that with Survivor Series, and that was 2017. We started, I think it was doing that leading into WrestleMania, and then we turned it into a league the following year, and then next year we also had the league, and this year we also included a G1 as well. So quite a few exciting things, exciting competitions, all leading towards getting or winning various games to enter into our WrestleMania championship game, which is coming up very, very soon.
Certainly is, and it's been so much fun being involved in that over the last like year or so. Just like I said, it's so interactive. It's so there's nobody doing that kind of thing. Like I said, there is a lot of people doing predictions, and you kind of like one-off like contest between two, but there's no one taking it to the stage of creating a league and creating like tournaments. I mean, yeah, it's really, really fun and really, really interactive.
Yeah, I like my rules and I like my scoring systems as well. I'm into my rugby and my refereeing as well, so I think that's where that comes from. A lot of prediction contests of, we'll have this person to win. So, okay, can we make it a little bit more challenging so you can get a point for the winner, how they win. If it's a tag team match, you can state what team member gets the pin or submission, whatever it is, and whoever concedes it. Other little bonus things as well, depending. Will so-and-so turn up? Who knows?
Let's get into your podcast. How did you go from being a fan to you and Stu having this podcast to creating content about wrestling?
So Stu and I met at an induction day at college. So he studied in Crawley in Sussex, and I live in Burgess Hill and studied in Burgess Hill. I studied at the same college as Stu did. We met up. We were both interested in music. We both played bass. Just got chatting, and we ended up discovering that we both like wrestling. And this was at a time where the Nexus were coming in and running riots. And it was a really exciting time. And then they ruined it. all that time that we were discussing wrestling when we came in, so like watched the pay-per-views the night before or Raw, SmackDown, whatever it is, and we come in the next day and discuss it. It was only until after I left university. We discovered we talk about wrestling, but we never actually watched the rest of any wrestling together apart from like maybe highlights at a college or whatever. So we decided to meet up and take turns. So go around each other's houses to watch the big four, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. Discussing more and more. Stuart was still into his music, so he had his microphone, and he had his own podcast as well. I was looking at getting a microphone because I wanted to get into some voiceover work, a little bit of narration. And if I was getting my microphone, well, should we do a podcast together? I think Stu suggested, and this was, as Stu would often say, like, all good ideas come up when drinking down at the pub. But, okay. It was a good idea, to be fair. That's how we decided to get involved and start doing a podcast.
Yeah, I love the podcast. I think it's really, really fun. How would you describe it to someone who's never ever listened to the Josh and Stu podcast before?
Very, very simple format. Like, Stuart takes on kind of the role of the sort of presenter kind of role. So he'll like steer the ship of where it's going. So if we go off like if I go off on the tangent, as I tend to do, we'll take it right back to what we were talking to. Otherwise, we're going to jump ahead to the main event or whatever it is. We start with a little intro, main sort of highlights of the night, maybe a little bit of build into it, and then we'll go match by match. It's a nice simple structure. Then at the end, we discuss where we think it's going to go. Did we enjoy the show? Most often than not, it was an all right show. the fun ones are always when it's a really good show, or especially if it's a really bad show. the very simple format, really. And then obviously we do some updates on the GSPL as and when, if it needs to. Otherwise, we post all the results on Twitter.
Yeah, so going back to wrestling, we'll come like really up to date. What current wrestling products are you enjoying? What current wrestling products piqued your interest?
Organizations, you mean?
Promotion.
My favorite promotion at the moment is I want to watch a lot more wrestling like I am at the moment. I live like not far away from Riptide, so I want to get over there, Riptide Wrestling in Brighton, so watch a few shows there. But the products I'm enjoying at the moment, I'm loving my Thursday mornings at the moment, because I get up and I can watch both AEW Dynamite and NXT. I think NXT, well, they've been doing as much more polished product at the moment. I think they've always known what they wanted to be, that they've sussed that out. AEW is still finding a few tweaks here and there, but it's not far off. But that's my favorite. Wednesday's my favorite day, but Thursday morning is a good time to be a wrestling fan, especially for me.
Absolutely. You're exactly the same as me. My two wheelhouses right now are AEW and NXT. The other one that I really I try and watch as much as I can is New Japan. The main roster WWE products, I can literally never watch. I don't think I've watched Raw or SmackDown for about 10 years.
Same here. First off, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and it's 3 hours. You know, it's New Japan with Sue and I got into about 2 years ago. This was when Jericho went over and challenged Omega. And if anyone's listening to this podcast who's not watched the G1 in its entirety, do so. I think like the G1 is one of my favorite times of year now. Just in the morning, watch the wrestling, and it's a lot of wrestling, but it's a lot of good wrestling. Some match of the year candidates mostly happened during the G1.
Yeah, last year's G1 was outstanding, absolutely outstanding. Yeah. I can't think of any. Normally with a G1, you kind of get some filler, like where they kind of bulk the numbers up with people who are maybe not as good as the top tier talent that's in it, but last year it was just amazing all the way through. Even from the likes of Lance Archer on the debut show, it just blew me away. Yeah, it's the best in ring product in the world for me.
That A block was especially stacked with like all the best technical wrestler like Zack Sabre Jr., Ospreay, Okada. And the other side, you just got brawlers, you know, like Tomohiro Ishii, one of my favorite wrestlers as well. The Stone Pitbull, and they call him that for a reason. My God, he is stiff. him, Shingo Takagi, Moxley in Moxley's first G1. But what a fantastic, fantastic tournament it was last year, and I'm sure it will be this year as well.
Yeah, well, if the coronavirus doesn't rob us of it like it has done with the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, coronavirus is the biggest heel at the moment, really.
we always used to say that the biggest heel was the music issue on New Japan where they kind of can't play the audio. But yeah, coronavirus has definitely took over that.
The one thing I'd say that WWE tops over New Japan probably would be the video packages. That'd be about if New Japan had some video packages or a little bit prone just beforehand. I mean, the announcers do a fantastic job anyway of giving us a little bit of background, a little bit of story, but a little video package, just something like just for the big kind of matches would be good, I think, especially in terms of presentation. But that's pretty much my only gripe with it, I think.
Yeah. So going back to this Wednesday night war, or like you said, us in Britain, the Thursday night tussle, if you will.
Tussle.
How do you feel that the outcome of AEW has affected NXT? Because NXT is its main competitor. How do you think it's affected the way that NXT is presented?
I don't think. There has been some, especially from NXT, there's been some from AEW, but there tends to be like a little bit like pettiness, which I don't think any of them need to do. I think NXT was already a solid product. I'm just happy being a wrestling fan because we get best of both worlds. There's the whole thing about the ratings war, like AEW got 800,000, NXT only got 700,000. It's like we're living in the digital age where it's all online. It's the streaming service. Everyone watch it anytime they want. I wouldn't worry too much about the ratings. The only time you have to worry about ratings is if you have a product on a big, say, network and it's underperforming expectations. They want to get a certain number each week. Then yeah, that's a problem. But in terms of like direct competition, wouldn't worry about it. So long as people are watching.
Yeah, exactly. And to go along with ratings here in Britain, AEW is obviously on RTV4, but it's regularly beaten by Mander, which is like, it hasn't been even filmed in like 20 odd years. So there is, I don't think the ratings mean that much, to be fair. For me, I've always felt that NXT was always going to be on this path of going onto onto a national TV channel. It's just, I think AEW's rise to prominence kind of like forced the hand and made it happen a bit quicker than it was going to.
Yeah. But I think for the better, though, I think, it has made, I mean, I've always, like, NXT as a product, it's always known what it's wanting to be. It just needs to now add an extra hour of content, and I'm quite happy with that, to be honest. Especially getting 1 hour of brilliant wrestling and getting two a week. That's fine by me, so long as it's not 3 hours of filler, you know.
Exactly. So what are some of the wrestlers or storylines from NXT and AEW that you are gravitating towards now?
Going towards at the moment. I'm interested to see how Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa finishes up. Obviously, Gargano's got unfinished business with Ciampa. I'm of the opinion where when Gargano won the title, finally won the title, beating Cole, and Tommaso Ciampa came out to hug him, I thought that was a little bit strange still. Mm-hmm. It was only not too long ago that they were in that tag team and Johnny Gargano then beat him down afterwards. Interesting to see how that goes there. Finn Balor seems to be getting under the skin of Imperium. Walter and Finn Balor, I think, would be fantastic, and I think they're gonna build towards that. Keith Lee is North American champion. It's great to see as well. It's nice to see him with some gold. He's doing some fantastic work. And see if they can keep up momentum with Undisputed Era. Now, if I haven't lost all the gold yet, but we'll see what happens. Can they get all the title back? Will they lose it all? Will they go off to a different roster? Who knows?
Yeah. So how do you feel about the fluidity that we're seeing in NXT? And what I mean by that is we're seeing main roster stars come down for programs with this talent. Then we've also seen a lot of NXT UK guys crossing over. I mean, we've had Jordan Devlin, who's now the WWE Cruiserweight Champion, and then we've seen a lot of Imperium and the Grizzled Young Veterans. How do you feel about how they kind of can float between these divisions?
I'm loving it. You know, it keeps it fresh. If you run out of rivalries or things getting a little stale, it's nice to have a little bit of a shake-up. Not quite like a Vince McMahon superstar shake-up or wild card kind of rule. I quite like the draft for that reason when they first started doing it, when they started to compete against themselves in 2002 onwards. Every year after WrestleMania, there'd be a little bit of a shake-up. You know, that was always quite nice. Having someone like a surprise is always quite nice. When they announce things, this person's going to be on the show. When they said Edge was going to come back, I prefer that to be a nice surprise. But they wanted to get bums on seats and people to tune in straight away, so I can understand that.
Who were some of the guys or girls that you think are going to be the breakout star of 2020, whether they're in NXT or whether in AEW or any other promotion? Who are you, some people who you think, they're going to be the next big star?
I think they need a bit more of a push with the women's division, I think. I think that's WWE are winning in terms of, if you're looking at the war of AEW, they've got a better women's division. If they keep pushing the stars, like, say, Shayna Baszler, Rhea Ripley, Tegan Nox as well, potentially being kind of big stars as well. Keith Lee, I can see being one of them. They've been slowly kind of pushing him. So Survivor Series, he was sole survivor. He had a nice little standoff with Brock Lesnar. I'd like them to do something with Tyler Bate, bring Tyler Bate up into NXT US or wherever. I think he's been doing an absolutely fantastic job. He had match of the year last year with Walter. Fantastic match against Jordan Devlin. Yeah, seeing a lot of the young guys kind of come through instead of doing what they're doing now, relying on the likes of Lesnar and Goldberg and all these people. I mean, I love Edge, and like that kind of contradicts my point. That's the best storyline they've got so far. But yeah, like I'd like to see Tyler Bate, Keith Lee, a lot of NXT guys. Angel Garza could be another kind of big name. He's got a great look. Quite a few. Buddy Murphy, I want to see Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black really move up as well. I wish they give Murphy his first name back. it kind of rolls the tongue, Buddy Murphy, and it really just kind of one of those names. You look back in 20 years, like, you remember Buddy Murphy? I do remember Buddy Murphy. It's one of those names.
Yeah,
do you know
exactly
what I mean?
Yeah, WWE have a tendency to like rob people of the names. We've had it with Andrade, we had it with Mustafa Ali for a while, but he did well enough to get his name back. I think he must have got in the good books.
Yeah, but Andrade Cien Almas is like, that's a brilliant name, just Andrade. Oh, yeah. Cien Almas. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. It's like calling Alberto Del Rio, just Alberto.
Yeah.
No.
Or Humberto Carrillo just end up being called Bert.
But
so outside of wrestling, what other kind of forms of entertainment do you like?
Entertainment wise, so I'm big on my rugby in terms of sports entertainment. Big on rugby. I have been for a number of years. I've been playing since the age of 7-8. Big, huge fan of the Wasps Rugby Club. To players like Lawrence Dallaglio, Josh Lucy, have played for them. I got into my job as acting and stage combat and all that stuff through wrestling, but also through various comedies. Again, things when I was younger I shouldn't have been watching. Rick Mayall is once again one of my influences. So his work with Adrian Edmondson, the likes of Young Ones and Bottom. I love Monty Python as well. A lot of slapstick comedy, Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin. Love that kind of stuff. I'm loving my comedies at the moment. They're rare to find, like, some really good comedies now. I'm currently watching Peep Show again, kind of at the moment. Just been watching that.
I literally watched an episode of Peep Show just before I was recording with you.
Oh, yeah. What episode was that?
The one where Mark signs up to a gym to avoid Sophie. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, wow. That's so weird, that.
Yeah. I've worked with a bit of a kind of name drop, but how familiar are you with the series?
I've watched it about a dozen times.
Okay, you know, there's a character called Big Mad Andy.
The painter, and he also has to fit a door.
That's the one. Yeah, I work with him occasionally. He's one of the Dell boys. I work with in Only Fools and Horses Done Experiences. Wow. He's a Dell, and I'm the Rodney. Yeah,
wow, that's quite fun. That's awesome. So
yeah, he's a lovely guy. Fantastic.
Yeah, sounds it. So how did you get into acting? How did you catch that acting bug?
So I was going to go with a little bit sob story now, sort of. I was so at the age of 4, I was diagnosed with a mild autistic continuum disorder. So I was pretty much like mentally and socially behind everyone else who was my age by about 18 months or so. I couldn't really hold a conversation. I got really agitated if things changed, different routines and whatnot. So I just needed kind of that kind of structure. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to go to offered place at an infant school that gave me an opportunity. So when I was younger, I was, as you may know, like, if people who are on an autistic spectrum have might have like a certain specialist skill or a certain interest. Mine when I was younger was Thomas the Tank Engine. I had I had all the toys. I had all the books, and I could recite them like kind of word for word. I'd watch the watch Thomas on the TV. I'd record them on the VHS, watching them over and over again, which must have driven my mum insane. Once my mum and my teachers kind of picked that up, they decided, okay, if he can recite word for word, no problem. He can communicate that way. Let's give him a role in the assembly. You know, sometimes they do, like in infant schools, like kind of nativity plays and whatnot. It was something like that, but it was a presentation of stories that we've been studying. And I got a role in there, and it must have been like a dream come true for me, because they said, okay, we want you to do this. I wasn't even worried about like, the number of people watching or whatever. It's like, okay, you just need to say this thing. We'll say this, you say this back. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's perfect. That works for me. so that's how I started getting into it, and doing more roles for the school, different productions. I did GCSE drama, did it at college, and later went to drama school, went to East 15. That's how I learned stage combat skills, which I use now. The acting side of things again comes down to watching my shows, watching comedies and watching wrestling. All sorts, pretty much. So that's how I got into it.
So you mentioned stage combat a couple of times. What exactly is stage combat?
So stage combat is, I like to describe it as a magic trick. It's an illusion, pretty much. You want to create the illusion of violence. That's what it is. When you see any fight scene on TV or in a theater show, or you watch wrestling, there are certain different principles, but that is stage combat. It's all it's all kind of choreographed. There's all certain ways to react, fall, land, all sorts. The idea is to keep the illusion of the illusion of violence without actually having anyone getting hurt, pretty much, because you've got to do this performance time and time again. But you also don't want to break the illusion of the story as well. You want to keep the audience invested.
Yeah. Wow. It's really, really interesting. So let's go back to your wrestling content now for the last little bit. Obviously, we've just wrapped up the prediction league for the year. What kind of content have we got coming up after that's finished? Are we going into another season? What kind of like new and fresh ideas have you got for the upcoming wrestling season, as it were?
I think we're going to stick to the same formula that we had last couple of years, or this last year rather. So we'll have our traditional league. It all resets at WrestleMania. Depending on the Callaway title and our briefcase kind of situation, we're going to have, when everyone's taking part of the WrestleMania, we want everyone to have an opportunity. So whether the highest scorer gets the next title shot or the different games, those kind of things. So it, usually whoever the highest scorer is of that certain round will get the next title shot, as you're aware of. And what we'll have our traditional games, we'll have our league all the way through. So that determines Royal Rumble spots, that determines Survivor Series rankings, that also determines the G1 as well. We'll be starting the G1 again after WrestleMania. We'll also have at some point our fifth Gold of the Pod tournament, which is our equivalent of King of the Ring as well.
Which I almost won this year. I think I got to the semis.
The semis that we had, I think we had like two triple threat matches, something like that, in the semifinals, and then we had a triple threat in the final as well with Royally Rumble and Outsiders Wrestling.
Yeah, it's honestly so much fun. Now I obviously know the kind of like the point scoring system and how you award the points, but how much work goes into kind of collating all that information for the amount of people who are actually involved in the league and in the tournaments?
Yeah, Excel, Microsoft Excel is my friend. All that. it's easier to keep track kind of that way. For every, let's say, a singles kind of match, there's 3 points on offer. So if you got the winner and the bye of how they won, you'll get an extra bonus point for that. So you either get 1 point or 3 points for a triple threat match. Yeah, exactly the same, apart from you can also name who gets pinned. So, but you can get multiple bonus points for that. You can get total of total 5 for a triple threat match. And then my favorite is that I came up with for a tag team. You can get either 3 points if you name the team that wins, the method they win, and either the person who scores the bye or concedes the bye, you'll get a point. But if you name all of them correctly, put them all right, you'll get 4 points. You'll get a total of 7, which we call a Trent. So a Trent 7. You score the Trent. There we go. and tag team matches, I think they're much harder to predict and should be worth more points, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, it's been so much fun being involved in this year. I mean, I know there's been a couple of times where I've sent emails and they've just not got through, and then I look in my drafts and they sat there and I'm like, oh, fuck's sake, I've missed out. that is the most annoying part of it.
Good.
Okay, I'm Matt Willis, and this is Graham Bagshaw. Welcome me, kid.
What am I supposed to do? You just introduced me. This should be the trailer. This is it. Listen to us Fridays on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. That's it. That's going. Send it out right now.
We're out of here.
Good. Bad. Right, what I like to do after the interview segment, I like to do a bit of word association where I'm going to throw some words or phrases at you from the wacky world of wrestling, and you just tell me the first thoughts that come to your head, whether that's the first word or diatribe. Right,
you're my wrestling psychiatrist. Okay.
Pretty much. All right, I'm not going to get out any Rorschach pictures or anything like that, but yeah, we can certainly give you some therapy. So first, let's go with Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Stop.
Normally, people just sigh. The first thing that comes to mind is like, oh. why would you say that stop is the first thing that comes to your mind when it comes to Vince?
Do I have to point out who our champions are? It's an endless cycle. WWE is a massive circle. It's one step forward, two steps back. You think, okay, finally we're making progress, when we were sick and tired of Roman Reigns constantly being in that picture that, okay, just beat Brock there, it's done, it's over. If Brock can go back to UFC or whatever. Nope, Brock wins. So he comes back. In the build-up, they absolutely kill Braun Strowman's momentum. So then... They came to a few, which was okay. It was Brock and Goldberg. Fine. But then afterwards, you got Seth Rollins. It's like, okay, is Seth Rollins finally the guy who gets rid of Brock Lesnar? No, he comes back, wins the Money in the Bank instead of actually letting someone have the briefcase and that can establish himself as a star. But no, they didn't do that. Gave it to Brock again because they thought they had to, which they didn't need to do. They ended up shooting themselves in the foot. And now he's champion again. And now I'm a little bit worried now that it's not the end of him. I don't mind Brock being around, but it's just, why does he have to be the WWE champion? How are you going to build stars if you keep giving it to these part-timers?
Yeah, I agree. I think Brock is Vince McMahon's safety blanket.
Yeah.
Whenever he's worried about getting someone over or whether he's worried about ratings, it's lol, bring back Brock.
Yep.
So after that, we'll go with his heir apparent. We'll go with Triple H.
Ooh.
The
Triple H. It's tough for Triple H. Think of a certain word, because he has ups and downs. He really is. I'll call him Elevator. I'll say Elevator.
like lift.
Yeah, lift. Elevator. Because you know, he's doing a fantastic job of NXT, and I'm sure he'll do a fantastic job when Vince McMahon finally steps down. You've got moments like his reign of terror. You've got moments where he came to the Survivor Series team to eliminate pretty much his own partner, eliminate Kurt Angle for no reason. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like, yeah. But then there are some things where it's just so awesome, and he thinks about the fan base. There was one event we went to in Brighton. This is when Roman Reigns caught the flu virus or whatever it was, and Triple H stepped in as a third S.H.I.E.L.D. member, which makes no sense canon-wise, but it was awesome.
And I swear, I bet it went a lot better than when Kurt was the third S.H.I.E.L.D. member.
Yeah, even like that one makes sense. At least Kurt Angle was a babyface. Triple H was just this anti-authority figure. Why would you call him? He was the guy that broke up the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow. So next, let's go with their current nemesis, Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes. I like Cody Rhodes. I don't like his new tattoo, but there we go.
I mean, my rock tattoo is awful, but at least it's coverable. He's a braver man than I, having that tattoo.
As well, it's like on the arm or on the chest. The other side of the chest would look pretty good, but on the side of the neck, you know, it's like, especially when you don't have any other tattoos. I'd call him businessman, I'd say.
Yeah. Is the consummate wrestling businessman, someone who could have easily took the easy money at WWE, decided to, like he says, bet on himself, and now he's got the second biggest promotion in the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Great word for him. What about his EVP teammates, the Young Bucks?
Young Bucks.
Ooh.
Busy, I'd say. They're constantly flying all over the place. I think one of them, I think Nick's just had, or is about to have his next child as well. And it's just constantly on the road all the time. They're always doing things. They're always going above and beyond. Mm-hmm. Do these shows. I'm like, yeah, they're good role models, for sure. For people who want to, if they love the business, then they've got to love it as much as the Young Bucks, because they're going everywhere and doing everything.
Absolutely, and it's the hard work that they put in. They're kind of like a Marmot in the ring. People either love them or think that they're absolute spot monkeys, but you can't deny how they've took a brand and really ran with it.
Mm.
So next, we'll go with, what is your thoughts on the GOAT, Chris Jericho?
The GOAT, Chris Jericho. I can only really say legend, really.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to the Young Bucks. He's been there and done everything. And when you think he's been there and done everything, he does something else as well. He does what he wants to do. He won't take no for an answer. He'll always find ways to make things work. I was reading some of his book, Four Is a No Letter Word. It's sort of like a little self-help book, but also a bit of a biography. I gave that to Stuart for Christmas. Same vein as the Young Bucks. He's just been there and done that. So he's not quite sure how old he is now, but how many years he's got on the Young Bucks. But the Young Bucks will be up there with like Jericho in a couple of years' time, just being like just legendary in terms of the amount of work they've done, the things they've achieved.
Yeah. I think for me, he's the first name on the Mount Rushmore. He's the GOAT, just for the fact of how good he is in the ring, still now at the best part of 50, and how he can just reinvent himself time and time again. It's just the epitome of a perfect wrestler for me.
Yeah. Also, he has a great attitude as well. When he was younger, he said, I want to be a wrestler and a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a kid saying, like, they want to be like an astronaut and something else. I don't know. Off the top of my head. But yeah, doing both of those things is amazing. Yeah. Wrestling and working out. That's really cool. Really inspirational.
Yeah, certainly is. Absolutely. Wowie Watch is proud to be working with Powerslam.tv. You can use our code MAGS to get yourself a 30-day free trial and watch up to 4,000 hours of quality independent wrestling content. Just make sure you sign up with your laptop for the code to work, and then after that you can download the Android app or the App Store app and watch this amazing content from Powerslam.tv.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Well, this has been so much fun, Josh. Let the listeners of Wow Watch know where they can get hold of you and they can get hold of your content and where they can potentially be in the next season of the Josh and Stu podcast predictions league.
Yeah, so if you want to know a little bit more about the Josh and Stu prediction league or the hashtag JSPL, you can contact us on Twitter at Josh and Stu Pod. You can also drop us an email at joshandstupodcast@gmail.com. If you want to listen to our podcast, you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Podomatic, Mixcloud, or under Josh and Stu Wrestling Podcast.
Absolutely. It's on my podcast app of choice, Podcast Republic. It's an absolutely great podcast. Great content, great prediction league. These guys are absolutely superb, and I'm so glad that I got involved with this last season that's gone on, and I can't wait for next season. It's just going to be so much fun. Thanks for involving me.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for playing along. If you know anyone that wants to get involved, get them to drop us a line.
I'm going to try and coax Paul, my Badlands tag team partner, to join, I think.
Excellent.
So, thank you again, Josh, for coming on. I really, really do appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Kirby. You can follow this show at Why We Watch Pod. Another massive, massive thanks for Josh. It's amazing that he's been on the show. And thank you for listening. And that is the end.
Listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.